On the line now, I have Barry Aldworth from Road Safety, AACE Road Safety. Hello, Barry. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks.
Okay, now we're going to talk about a report you've put out. But I just wanted to ask you about one you did. It was first proposed in 2015. You had put a five-pointer to them. What sort of reaction did you get to that?
Now, fortunately, with the five-point plan that we brought out in response to the motor insurance crisis, it was a slow response in some regards, but a positive response. We had the opportunity, after releasing that plan in November of 2015, to appear in front of the Oireachtas committee that was here, that was looking into the issue of motor insurance premiums. And generally, the response has been positive. And many of the issues we pushed for were firstly included in the wider Oireachtas Committee's report into tackling the motor insurance crisis. Mm-hmm. And they've also made an appearance in Owen Murphy's own report on that. So we're happy with the report. In that regard, it's taken much of the advice we gave on board. And we do believe that off the back of that, you know, motorists should hopefully see something positive in the future.
Mm, I'm just wondering there when you say that they were slow to respond, because just upon my a lot of people I've been talking to, did it only escalate in 2016, really? I mean, by last year, I don't think it was too bad before that. And so maybe if they'd responded quicker, we wouldn't have had the problem last year with the height, the hike in insurance prices, or am I all wrong there?
Certainly, there were some indication in 2015 that there was a problem coming, but 2016 was definitely the year where I think for most people, and particularly for your average motorist, that they really noticed the ramp up in their premiums.
Okay. Okay, give us some background to the report and what you found out in it. Like, is there any truth, like, that it's accidents and claims and all that sort of carry on? Or is it because there's not enough competition with insurance companies closing down? Or is it a combination of everything?
The most likely answer is it's a combination of both. Certainly there is an absence of competition within the Irish market, but as well as that, there are factors which the insurers have pointed to justify the increases, and there is legitimate reason to point to those. We do have a problem with claims in Irish society where, you know, whiplash payments are ever increasing, and also, unfortunately, we're seeing an increase in uninsured drivers, and because of the risk of uninsured drivers, insurers are passing the cost of that on to people who take out insurance and try to do things fairly, which then has the ill effect of encouraging more people to drive uninsured because they feel I can't afford insurance. So unfortunately, it's a vicious cycle in some ways.
Mm-hmm. So is the policing, I mean, I've never seen so many roadblocks as I've seen over the past 2 weeks in particular. So I imagine that there's sort of, there seems to be a pattern arising where they're saying, well, okay, we're going to alleviate this problem in some way. Is that what is needed in this case?
Absolutely. I mean, the more checks we can carry out on the road in relation to this issue, that's going to be a benefit, and it's going to help stamp out uninsured drivers. Now, the problem is, you know, we've been saying this since well before 2015, but we brought it up in the five-point plan. When it comes to the tax disc, we give our Gardaí a flashlight and expect them to be able to tell on the spot that a disc is fraudulent, that a disc is fake, that a disc, you know, anyone with a colour printer right now can print off a convincing forgery. So one of the things that we have been pushing for is both the introduction of a shared information database across all insurers and the Gardaí, which exists in the UK, it exists in Northern Ireland, but it hasn't been brought in here as of yet. Now, that information would greatly enhance the Guard's ability to tackle uninsured drivers, and also it would allow them to use what's called ANPR technology, automatic number plate recognition software, which already exists in most Garda traffic or cars, but because the database hasn't been built as of yet, ANPR is of no use to them. They tried to use it in the past and it was so error prone that they stopped using it. Whereas if we build a database and then allow the guards to use ANPR properly and as it should be used, that will further help them in stamping out uninsured drivers, because it actually gives them software that, you know, is up to date, it's 21st century, and it allows them to do it properly instead of them trying to make their best guess with a flashlight at 10:30 at night.
Okay, of course, indeed, yeah. And also the report contains a lot of recommendations in relation to the strengthening of the Personal Injuries Assessment Board. What's the key points of strengthening them, and why does it need strengthening?
Now, with the Injuries Assessment Board, the idea behind strengthening that is to reduce the incentive for people to go to court, because what we have seen in the last couple of years is, you know, people get into an incident, they, you know, understandably, they pick up some sort of an injury, whether it's whiplash or a broken bone or something of that effect, and they go to the Injuries Board. The Injuries Board recommends a payment of a specific value depending on the injury, and then, you know, in the coming weeks, you know, they contact a lawyer or a lawyer contacts them, and the lawyer says, look, I think I can get you more in court. So they go to court and, you know, they wind up maybe getting a little bit more than what they would have gotten from the Injuries Assessment Board. But the lawyer's fees also then are passed on to the insurer, or the insurer settles out of court. And that drives up claims, and it drives up the cost of insurance for everyone. Mm-hmm. So with a stronger Injuries Assessment Board, they are in a much better position to reduce the incentive for people to go to court. And also, you know, look, payments for injuries, they need to be fair. They need to take into account, you know, the legitimate concerns of the person and if they're not able to work, things like that. But, you know, we do have a problem in this country, particularly with, you know, we have a disproportionate number of whiplash cases. And I think, you know, anything that allows the Injuries Assessment Board to reduce the incentive for people to go to court, to reduce the ability of lawyers to, in some regards, ambulance chase, mm-hmm. that's going to be a benefit to the average motorist.
And do you think the assessments of people who are injuries are sort of enough? Should it be more thorough to the extent of, I know they go to doctors and stuff like that, but should they not have maybe the Injuries Board have their own, or do they, I don't know whether they do or not, have their own assessment board and say, well, look, come to our doctor. Much like what happens if someone is injured in work or who's out sick for a long time, eventually if they're out very long, they will be assessed independently. Does that happen in these cases?
Certainly it's a model that could be looked at. I don't know if it's a model that's currently in place, but I think, you know, one of the good things within this report is a recommendation for a committee to be set up to look at models used in other countries when it comes to claims, when it comes to injuries, and to see what's working there. Now, in one hand, that's positive. It's looking at what's happening in other countries and picking out the best. On another hand, it's reactive. It's waiting for the problem to emerge before we address it. But, you know, other countries, say when it comes to a whiplash incident, there's no payment. They will cover the cost of your physio, of any treatment you need, and that's it. And, you know, with this, we have the opportunity to look at what's working in other countries and see if it can be applied to ours, and to improve the model and hopefully, you know, again, reduce the incentive for people to go to court, to reduce the amount that insurers are paying out of court settlements. And all of that, you know, it may sound on the surface like, well, that's only going to save the insurer, but those savings will trickle down then to the average motorist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, I think claims over the years, I mean, when I've talked to a few people, older people especially, that might have some idea of it, but they seem to, as well as insurance, but I think the claims seem to have escalated. And if you compare us with Britain and France, I think the claims are nearly 50% more, if not 100% more in some cases. And that sort of thing has gotten out of hand as well, hasn't it? Is that
absolutely? I mean, yeah. It's definitely seen an unfortunate spike, and I think it's something that needed to be addressed. And thankfully, in both Owen Murphy's report and the Oireachtas Committee's recommendations, it has featured quite prominently. I think, you know, what tends to happen, unfortunately, is, you know, people, they're involved in an incident and they hear stories of, you know, oh well, you know, the neighbour or the friend or the sister or the brother who was involved in an incident last year, they got X amount more than what the Injuries Assessment Board offered by mm-hmm. going to court. So then you have more people funnelling into the court system, which unfortunately has a knock-on effect.
Okay, and if it happens, I mean, everything small makes it something big. It's like rolling, if it's snowing and you keep rolling, the ball gets bigger and bigger. And I was just, for instance, if a small claim comes in, a little tit-a-tat of two cars hitting off each other, do the insurance companies go out and look at and assess them properly, or do they just take it at face value? Okay, do they look up and say, well, it's only 2,000 or 3,000, there's no need for us to do that, let's just give it to them and all that. Are they sort of passe like that to an extent. Would you know that?
To a certain extent, there can be a tendency to just, you know, look, avoid going to court at all costs, and whatever gets it sorted quicker, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is a tendency with the insurers to settle out of court and just have the matter dealt with. Now, that is one positive in Owen Murphy's recommendations. It will be now required when necessary legislation is introduced that mm-hmm. if your insurer is looking to settle a claim made against you out of court, that they will actually now have to notify you. Previously, that wasn't the case, so that means that if there is a dubious claim made against you, at least now you have the information before it's settled and you can dispute it accordingly.
Okay. And now, 71 proposals, obviously I won't go through them all, but any other key things in there that you want to enlighten us about?
For us, the main ones are looking at strengthening the Injuries Assessment Board, looking at the improved use of ANPR and the establishment of a shared information database. But the concern we would have, I suppose, if you look particularly at Owen Murphy's report, which is 33 recommendations, you can see that's available online. You can look at the timeline, and you know, for some of them, it's, you know, oh, we want to have this in place by the fourth quarter of 2018. I mean, look, we're just after arriving into the first quarter of 2017. Mm-hmm. So to kick this problem down the road for another best part of 2 years is certainly worrying. So for us, and you know, I would think for anyone working in this field and for the average motorist, the priority for 2017 will be pushing for legislation to be introduced to tackle this crisis as soon as possible.
Yeah, it takes them so long, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, understandably, it needs to be strong legislation. It needs to, you know, it needs to fit into with all the protocols in place. We can't just rush it through for the sake of it and then find out actually we shouldn't have done that at all. But you know, the average motorist has been faced with this problem for at least a year now, potentially looking at another 2 years. That's just not good enough.
I know it's an insurance company a problem to an extent, but with the likes of L drivers, we've heard of so many thousands of them driving around on their own. If they happen to have any sort of an accident, a minor or major, does that negate their insurance immediately?
The effect we'll have on your no-claims bonus, that's going to be dependent basically on a range of factors. It's going to depend on the extent of the incident and the cost associated, but also how long your no-claims bonus has been, whether it's, you know, a year or 5 years, or to what extent you have a no-claims bonus protection system in place as part of your insurance. So just because you've been involved in a minor incident once, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to lose 5 years of no claims bonus. Mm-hmm. But it is worth, you know, if you're concerned about that, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wait, am I covered? Double check your policy and double check what bonus protection you have in place, because, you know, it's never good to lose the no claims bonus. It's, you know, it helps you make savings, but it's certainly much more reasonable to deal with it if you face dropping back, you know, from 5 years no claims to 3 years instead of losing it completely.
Yeah. Sorry, Barry, I probably didn't explain that properly or put in the question properly. I meant if a little thing happens with an L driver, but he's on his own or she's on her own in the car, does it negate the insurance then? That's what I meant. Because it's illegal for someone, a learner driver, to be on their own in a car. So if, you know, as you're talking, you're talking about people driving without insurance, but this is another problem that they have as well. So if that's not addressed, that makes the problem even worse.
In the case of the learner driver, you know, ultimately they are responsible, or there is a responsibility on them and on, you know, whoever is the fully qualified driver, that they have to have a fully qualified driver with them. Now, if they are in an incident and they don't have a fully qualified driver accompanying them, the insurer would be within their right to withhold a payment. Or if the insurer is led to believe that, say, the car is insured under a parent's name and the insurer has been told that, oh, you know, look, I'm the main driver, but then when the insurer is looking into the case, it turns out that, no, look, the son or the daughter, they're actually the main driver, the insurer would be within their rights to withhold payment. So for learner drivers, it is important, you know, it understandably it can be frustrating, you know, when you're, you know, on the road and learning for, you know, a year or 2 years, it can be tempting to sneak out, you know, on your own, just to run down to the shop or something.
Yes,
but
yeah.
even if you're involved in a minor incident, you know, your insurer, if you're unaccompanied, would be within their right to decline payment.
To negate it, yeah. Okay, I mean, as you said yourself there, it's slow in coming around. Do you keep lobbying all the time with this report and saying, come on, let's get things moving? Have you any good news for our listeners who are driving around at the moment, dreading that letter in the post, giving them their insurance for this year?
In terms of good news right now, the report has been released. That's, you know, the first positive, because you know, originally we were looking at this for December 2016. It was delayed into January 2017. So we have it now. We now know what we're looking at. We can up our lobbying efforts. We can push for this to be pushed through faster if needs be. And I suppose, you know, for people who are expecting the insurance letter, the advice, you know, it's age-old advice. It won't be the first time they've heard it, but it is certainly worth shopping around, because, you know, to a certain extent, loyalty to your insurer, that will be beneficial. It may help you make savings, but you can get that. It's important for you to get the best deal for you. So take a look at what other insurers are offering, you know, and if it's not going to affect your policy in any negative way, it may be worth changing insurers to help put some extra money in your pocket.
I think that's where it falls with a lot of Irish people. In regards every service that they have, that they feel a sense of loyalty and they just every year automatically just pay. But I think they're learning now that you have to shop around, no matter what, as I say, what services you're getting, you have to shop around and get the best price. And make the companies and the agencies and the services operators, make them compete properly against each other.
Absolutely. I mean, loyalty is a great virtue, but I think in regards to any service, you know, it's worth shopping around. You know, ultimately, loyalty isn't going to put extra money in your pocket, but shopping around will help to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, Barry, it's a great report that you put out there on road safety, and I hope that they're a little bit quicker in getting forward some of the recommendations and maybe make it easier for motorists on the road. Incidentally, you were talking there about tax and the discs and that, and the way they can alleviate the problem there for the guards at night. But has any proposals in any way, or have you heard that in any way, where we would pay road tax through our petrol or diesel use and do away with the discs altogether and just pay for it? How often you use a car, so much car tax you pay. A lot of people think that's a good idea. Anything in that?
Certainly it's a system in place of leaving New Zealand, and there are benefits to it. We ourselves, you know, when we first released our motor insurance plan in 2015, one of the things we pushed for was the removal of the tax discs. It facilitates fraud, it doesn't prevent it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, when it comes to this issue, when it comes to your motor insurance and your road tax, you know, there is no harm in looking at what other countries are doing and seeing what works. Now, you know, every country system has its positives, it also has its negatives. But if we are seeing that, you know, something is working in another country, there's no harm in looking at how feasible it is to introduce it here to see if, you know, the motorist who has had a lot of the pennies in their pocket pinched already, if they can make a few savings.
Okay. It's getting harder and harder for the motorist every year. But listen, Barry, thank you very much for talking to us here on Near FM. Much appreciated for giving us all your time, because I know you're very busy. But thank you for the moment.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. And that is Barry Altworth from AA Road Safety. And that report got in as usual. Dragging the feet. Let's get it going, lads. Let's get it moving. But thanks again there to Barry.